morning. Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study whole Bibles, Bibles on way. And we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord has made, and He's long-suffering, and we thank Him for that. But there's also going to be a day that He's going to come back and take us out of here, and then He's going to go back dealing with a program on earth, and He's going to fulfill what He told the people in time past. But now, we live in the but now, and we have a wonderful message of grace. And what we're doing here, in the contrasting God's Word, you know, when you rightly divide a word of truth, you divide the whole Bible, correct? And it's God's Word. It's not your word, my word. It's God's Word. And we're, as we're contrasting the Word of God, my Bible has no contradictions in it. So it has contrasts, opposites. And that's what these teaching lessons are doing. And we're in lesson 14. I know last lesson, it looked like lesson 1B. It ran down, so I do apologize for that. But you can follow along just as easy. We're in lesson 14. Be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And the prophecy goal of this for Israel is the God of heaven to set up a kingdom on earth. Jesus Christ is to have preeminence on the earth. So that's what this lesson is going to be, is Jesus Christ is going to be on this earth, and His, that's the focus of the prophecy program. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and earth. And all from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the focus has been on the earth, and primarily through the nation Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 21. Verse 20 says, "And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sweareth unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon what?" So they're looking at their days upon, days of heaven upon the earth. Go to Daniel chapter 2. So when they go into the promised land, where's the promised land at? On earth. When Moses went up in the Mount Sinai, where was God at? On earth, in that mountain. You know, if you think about when where did I say to go? Remind me to go Matthew 6, too. Daniel 2. Daniel 2. Daniel prophesied about a future event, didn't he? We went through the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, starting with verse 34. Thou sawest till thou that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them off. That no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole, what? Earth. This is a dream and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. So that stone that smote them, what's it going to do? Become a great mountain upon the earth. If you know anything about mountains, well, God used them as a kingdom. That's where the king is. If you're used to be, you're up on a high mountain, you was okay. You know, nowadays it's hard to tell where you're at in the mountains because anything can get to you. But when God used mountains, and like the mount, when Jesus Christ went up on a mount, he's showing his kingdom. He's showing that he's a king. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand what? That is a goal of prophecy. That right there. And that's where a kingdom is prophesied. Daniel talks about this kingdom being prophesied. Now, when was Daniel written? Way back over here, right? Okay, he's prophesying a kingdom over there. He's not prophesying what we are today. The kingdom's been postponed today. Go to chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Yeah, I got it here. Daniel 7, thank you. Daniel 7. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. This is still future. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be devised from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. Verse 24. And the ten horns out of the kingdoms are the ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until all the time and the times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdoms and dominions and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting. Kingdom and all dominions shall serve him and obey him. So what's going on in verse 24 here? Who is that? Here's a kingdom going to be set up, and the Antichrist is coming on the scene here. But what's going to happen in verse 27? You just said, verse 26, 27. He's the saints, the kingdoms and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting. Kingdom and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So that kingdom that was prophesied back over here, when it's all said and done over there, it's going to be given to the saints that's over here. Where is their heaven at? Where's their kingdom at? On earth. So when you read stuff like that, and you see things are given that shall be, think to change times and law. Boy, when you look at the world out there today, it just seems like people's trying to change everything you got. Your laws, your times, you don't know what season it is, that type of thing. But fret not. This is a prophecy program, and we as body of believers are not going to be here. We wasn't there then, and we're not going to be there then. But the thing is, he promised that that kingdom is going to last for how long? Forever. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 8 says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, as your fathers knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the margin of your book, you should have Deuteronomy chapter 11, 21. That's what he was referring to. And by the way, the Lord never told you and I to pray this prayer. He's talking to who? Israel. He's talking to disciples and stuff there. So the thing is, Matthew 25, we don't pray the heaven to come to earth. We pray what? For us to go where? To heaven. Lord, take us out of here quickly. We say that more and more truth today than before. Matthew 25. And I know people out there that you and your God, you keep asking him to come quickly. You know, where's he at now? Why hasn't he come? Why is he taking such and such out and not mess with Tom that's old as Moses over here? Just joking. But you know what I'm talking about? The thing is, God knows when's your time. But the time we have left here, we should make it profitable to him, shouldn't we? I mean, everybody traces after the almighty dollar. Well, that's what everybody's doing to get you all mixed up. Look at the people that you watched on TVs and Hollywoods and all that stuff, and even political, whatever, has got caught up chasing that dollar, and look what fix they're in now. They're in bad shape right now. Matthew chapter 25. That's their kingdom, by the way, on this earth. I'm in control. I'm going to tell you what to do. Matthew 25, 34. We looked at this a couple other times. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What do you know about something spoken since the world began? What is that?
Prophecy.
Something from the foundation. That's Acts 3:21. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Now, here's Deuteronomy, the fifth book of your Bible, the second giving of the law, and he's saying, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thou Father, and he shall show thee, thy elders, and they will what? Tell thee. Now, I don't know about you guys. I miss my grandfather. I miss his brothers and stuff. I miss my dad. Because remember their generations, they'd sit there and tell you what they went through. You know? And you're like, wow. So how many of our kids today go up to you as a grandparent or a father? What happened in those days? You know, not too many. And they got videos and they got music and they listen to and remember this. But you think about this right here. Be prepared to share somebody, hey, there was times like this when I was growing up. When I was 30 years old, I didn't know which way I was going to go. You know, you can help somebody with that. And, you know, not instead of beating them. Verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated sons of Adam, he set bounds of people according to the number of the children of Israel. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And by the way, God will rule in the land of Jacob. That's what this is talking about. Where's the land of Jacob at? Israel. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God chose it. The Lord's portion. Nobody's going to tell the Lord he can't have this. But the thing is, the Most High divided the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of nations. It's a lot of boundaries. Look at go to Daniel chapter 9. So where's the focus at this prophecy program? On the earth. And even today, in Christendom, where's the focus on a lot of people? Where? On earth, isn't it? 90%, probably 95% or better percent of people out there will have you building a kingdom on earth in God's name. Well, with storms and everything going on right now, it might not be too healthy, wealthy, or wise to build a kingdom on earth, because you can't escape nothing, whether it's financially, weather, whatever. So the thing is, we'll find out where you need to be building that, okay? In Daniel chapter 9, this is really the fifth course of judgment on the nation Israel. They had five courses of judgment against them starting. But look at verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of desolation were. And then he says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I pray unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that loved him, to take them that keep his commandments. But look at verse 2 again. Understood with what? The books. Daniel had the word of God with him to talk about and know about what that future kingdom is going to be about. You with me? We have books too, by the way. But look at this. Go to chapter 10 of Genesis. Get Genesis chapter 10. If I'm not mistaken, well, look at this right here. Verse 8, Genesis 10, 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He became to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and was at Iraq, and Akkad, and Cana, and in the land of Sarn. You see that? The beginning of his kingdom. You know what that is not? It's not the kingdom of heaven, and it's definitely not the kingdom of Abrahamic covenant or David's kingdom. And this is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, that the word kingdom shows up in your Bible, and who's it referring with to? Nimrod. Well, he fed them. He created Babel, and like a big giant supermarket, brought them all back under control. Revelation chapter 17. I just wanted to see that kingdom. Revelation 17. Verse 3. So he carried me away to, in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having her golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name of mystery, written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. You see that kingdom there? How many kingdoms do you think there's in the world today? Quite a bit. Quite a bit of kingdoms in the world. But we know that God's kingdom is going to be, that he prophesied in Daniel chapter 2:44, we read, the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand. In the first part of Acts, the kingdom is what? Offered. In the dispensation of grace, which we're going to next, the kingdom is postponed. And then a kingdom established over in Hebrews through Revelation. That's God's kingdom. And he's going to be fighting against some kingdoms out there of people. And you've seen how the Antichrist pops up. Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, that was the goal of prophecy, right? The goal of the mystery program is to form a spiritual body of believers perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, through whom Jesus Christ will have preeminence in the heavenly places. Now, you may look at each other right today and look at us and think, are we perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? We're looking at our bodies. No. You know, we're not in the flesh. We're never going to be good enough. So it's a spiritual body of believers. But yet we're still have to be active in this world. And Romans chapter 8, contrast to the prophetic program as the mystery program. Something kept secret since the world began. And Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is God's plan. Verse 29, for whom? Who is that whom there? No. Who is the whom? The body, yeah. The body, that's who he's talking to. And if you look at times past and the books then, when you talk about whom and you, who's he talking to? Israel. But this is the body. He did foreknown, he also did predestinate it to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many, what? Brethren. So people say, well, you're predestinated to be saved. You predestinated to do this. No, God predestinated a body. And how are you getting that body? There ain't no other way. You're not going to buy your way. Well, I shared with that guy yesterday, there's no other way to get in here other than the blood of Jesus Christ and believing that he died and was buried and rose again. Colossians chapter 1. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, who's him there? Christ. Were all things created that are in heaven, and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he, who's the he, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. But look, verse 16, things that are created where? In heaven and in earth. Can you see those things? You can look up in the heavens and see things created, right? You can't? The stars and the planets. And on this earth, you can look out there. Then he says, visible and invisible. Can you see things? Can't see the invisible. The spiritual realm you can't see. Then whether it be thrones or power or dominions and powers, principality and powers, these are positions. These are government or structures there. You can see what's on earth, and you got to get in your mind, you see things in the heavenly, because what was the tabernacle pattern after? What was the ark pattern after? So it's a mirror image. What's supposed to go down there, and it can get corrupted. But the thing is, and he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body of the church. Nowhere will you find outside of Paul's epistles that Jesus Christ is the head of a church, head of a body. You know that old movie, was it My Big Fat Greek Wedding, whatever it is? And the woman talks about, what she said, the man has a head, but the woman has a neck. You know, that type of thing. You know, but Jesus is the head and we're the body, but we don't tell the head what to do we? This body can say, I want this. But Jesus Christ is the head. He does our thinking. We got the mind of Christ, and he does our thinking, and we should think like he thinks. That's what I was sharing with that guy last night. I said, look, you're thinking, your spirit's right here. And if you can line it up with the Word of God, rightly divided, you can know exactly what you're dealing with when you're dealing with it. Don't care what kind of situation you're in. We talked to another guy last night, and he's a oil rigger from oil and gas from Louisiana. And he's just sitting up here, and he's been all over the world for oil and gas. And Sherry asked him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I've got demons. You know, I'm working through some things. And we talked about your mind. We talked about who you are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, you never know who you can talk to, and they're searching. But you got to know who you are in Christ first, the gospel that you believe. And you got to believe that gospel to be saved. Not just any gospel. It's the gospel of Christ that saves us today. Ephesians chapter 1. Go back a book. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge to know him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believed, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand of the right hand in where? You notice that places is in italics in your Bible? You know it's put there by the King James people, right? For a reason. Because what have we been thinking about? What have we been talked about in the prophetic program? Heavenly. Where's our heaven at? On earth. Where's Paul talking about heavens at? Far above in principalities and places. Look at this. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? Come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus is head of the church. Jesus is positioned in the heavenly places. And not only did he raise him up from the dead, but it says far above all principalities and places. That's far above Satan's domain in the heavenly places. You know, he's a principality of the air. He rules the first and second heaven. Jesus Christ is far above that. So that's something to think about. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Hosea. Joel. Amos 9. What about those powers and principalities and things? Amos chapter 9, verse 6. Y'all with me? It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven. You notice it don't say heavens. In the heaven. And hath found his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and pour them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now, where's he got stories at? In heaven. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, if you know about 2 Timothy, this is his last, he's writing to Timothy, right? This is some of the last words he's going to write. Verse 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his what? That day he's talking about getting out of here. Not only Paul, but who? Us. Amen. Then he talks about Demas forsaking him. And he talked about Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. If you know back there in Acts, John Mark left him and Barnabas. But now he's profitable to him. He says, verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's powerful, guys. No matter what, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him where he get that message out there. But we're afraid somebody's going to throw water on us or shut a door in our face or just, you know, make you feel bad. Here's verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly what? Kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Where has the Lord preserved him? In the heavenly kingdom. Not on this earth to be down here ruling with the 12, but the heavenly kingdom. Go one more passage. Chapter 1, Same book, chapter 1. Verse 11 says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Now, who wonder who at whom? Amen. Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Not only did Apostle Paul is preserved, he's persuaded. And he didn't err from that. Now, Paul is our pattern, is he not? Paul says a many lot of things that he went through, so you and I probably won't have to go through some things. The things that Paul went through, there's no way in the world you and I can endure that. There's no word. We'd give up. But the goal is to form that spiritual body through the ministry of Apostle Paul and form a body of believers that's going to be in the heavenly places to be forever. And that's some good news to know today that because if we build stuff on this shifting sand, it's going to fail, isn't it? Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for things given us. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the contrast that you've given us to study through your word. In his name we pray. Amen.